It is a privilege for me to welcome to the Aiken Seventh-day Adventist Church our speaker for the hour who will break bread from heaven with us, Ms. Kelly Maurer.
Thank Anne and the church for having me, and Joan for the wonderful visit I'm enjoying in her home with her. And it's my second Sabbath in a row with Wilhelmina and Gloria, so we're just enjoying the blessings of God in a very special way here, even though it is raining. Let's pray as we start. Dear Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I was making some notes during Sabbath school of some of the themes in our lesson this morning that match what I want to look at in the Bible with you today. And we were talking about time with the Lord in prayer, how that is integral to our walk with God. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And one of the keys to that abundant life is much prayer. The devil does not fear a church that doesn't pray. The devil is not bothered by a Christian who spends little time with their Heavenly Father. So much time in prayer brings us much power in the Lord. And another point that was made that I thought was directly tied to the title of the sermon, it was you mentioned that the Christian walk is not always a bed of roses. It is a hard walk sometimes. And the hymn that we're going to sing at the end was written by a corporate executive who lived a life with a lot of responsibilities at work and at home. And he wrote, "I'm pressing on the upward way. I'm pressing on. I'm not casually walking, easily strolling. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on." So it's not always easy. And I think it was also the gentleman who mentioned we need to keep our priorities straight, because if we don't, we end up at the wrong place at the wrong time. We end up places that we might not want to be. And so today in our time together, I want to look in the book of Habakkuk at how some of these themes are developed. So take your Bible and turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 1. It's a very short book, and how I found this. And by the way, thank you for the skunk story. I pulled out my phone and made a note. I want to follow up on learning a little bit about skunks and seeing how I might not want to be a spiritual skunk. I had, at the beginning of this year, in my own personal study time, decided I wanted to really read into the book of Habakkuk. It's a short book. I encourage every one of you to dig into the blessing God has in this story. Chapter 1, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. Chapter 1, verse 1, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Habakkuk starts out asking a question that many of us have wondered about at times. How long am I going to pray this prayer and wait for an answer? It seems like it's not being heard. It seems like there's an urgent need. I'm crying out that there's this deep-hearted longing in me. And in Habakkuk's case, he's crying about inequity and violence. But how long, Lord, am I going to bring this urgent prayer to you and you're not hearing me? How long? And the book of Habakkuk, as it unfolds, it's this dialogue between God and Habakkuk. And we come over to the ending of this dialogue. And throughout the discussion, God never actually answers Habakkuk's question. His first question of how long am I going to ask this prayer? What God does is he brings Habakkuk gradually from Habakkuk's view of his situation to a heart view of God's glory. That is a theme that you find in several key instances in the Bible. The story of Job. Job is a dialogue about why has this trial befallen Job and his friends sitting around talking. His friends saying, it's because you sinned. Job saying, no, I haven't sinned. Show me righteous, O Lord. And it ends with God finally stepping forward and laying out a vision of his glory. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I said to the ocean, you can come this far and no farther? Where are the storehouses of the hail? And then there's Moses. Moses, who has led Israel through the wilderness, and Israel has given him pretty much nothing but trouble. The prince of Egypt has become the receptacle of a bunch of complaining, fussing people that he's trying to help. And rather than appreciating what he's trying to do, they're giving him grief. And then they rebel against the God who has delivered them, and Moses deals with the fallout of that rebellion. And then the Bible says, after all this, Moses goes into the tent of the presence, and he prays, O Lord, show me your glory. One of the things that God wants us to realize is that our salvation, our abundant life, our growing in him, our pressing on, all of those things will take place when our heart is filled with a vision of his glory. We don't need to look at the circumstances. We don't need to see the answers. We need a vision of God's glory in our hearts. We don't need to look at ourselves. We need to look to him. So, what are some ways that we can do this? How do we keep our priorities so that we are receiving constant refreshing of this vision in our hearts of God's glory? Because what happens with Habakkuk when he starts out with this question, how long am I going to pray this prayer, and I'm waiting for an answer and I'm not receiving one, and then he moves to a vision of God's glory, and that vision of God's glory completely changes him so that he's no longer saying how long. What he's saying is, even though the barns are empty, even though the fig tree is not blossoming, even though there are no cattle in the fields, even though we all have our lists, even though, yet I will rejoice in God my Savior. That's what a vision of God's glory does. It moves us from even though to the rejoicing. So here are some ways that I find help to refresh that vision of God in my heart. And the first one, it's interesting, last week at the Carolina Prayer Conference, we learned, this was referenced in our Sabbath school, but help me remember it again, that according to a Barna research study, the Seventh-day Adventist denomination is the denomination that prays the least. Prays the least. Another study that I read about in the Adventist World magazine of August 2010 said that less than half of our church members spend time every day in the Word of God. I was at a Florida retreat once. I was a seminar speaker, not the keynote speaker. The keynote speaker was Dr. Richard Neal from Loma Linda. Some of you may know him. I grew up during a period of my life, went to school with his daughter. And so what they do there at the church camp in Florida when you're there for these particular types of things is, for the speakers who are going to serve in the afternoon, they have us come in half an hour early and have lunch by ourselves so that while everybody else is eating lunch, we can then go and set up and prepare. So I was sitting at the table with Dr. Neal, and we were sort of catching up, and he was asking me some of the different ways that God has blessed me to serve, where I was going next and so forth. And then he said, Kelly, may I tell you a story? I said, yes. He said, there was once a woodcutter who came to town, and he could chop wood faster than anyone. No one had ever seen anyone as skilled as he was. Of course, he was hired right away. But after a few months, his supervisor called him into the office and said to him, I'm sorry, but we're going to need to let you go because you're slowing down. The guy was shocked. He said, what do you mean I'm slowing down? I'm still the fastest woodcutter you have. And the supervisor said, yes, we see you cutting wood all the time, but we never see you taking time to sharpen your axe. And so Dr. Neal said to me, Kelly, I say to you, take time to sharpen your axe. If we want a vision of God's glory in our heart, here is where we will find it. Sit with the Word of God and taste and see that the Lord is good. go deep into that word with him. Sometimes, you know, it's like a meal. Sometimes we don't have time for a long meal. Sometimes it's a quick meal. But any time that our hearts turn to the word of the Lord all throughout our days, we are refreshed. There's power in the word of God. And, you know, time in his word every day, God uses that to bless others. I don't know how many times, and I know you all will have remembered times when this happened with you. I'm reading something in my personal private devotion time with the Lord, and maybe that even that same day or very shortly thereafter, I'll come into a situation where I might even say something, you know, I was reading about something like that this morning, and here's what God brings to our mind, what we spend time reading in our quiet moments with him. Sharpen your axe daily in the Word of God. Number two, Proverbs 4:23. Guard your thoughts, because out of your thoughts comes your life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I was talking once with a man who animated for Walt Disney for many years. And I asked him what kind of spiritual parallels he could draw from his experience. That's a pun. He could see in his experience of drawing animation and the Word of God applied in our lives. And he said, well, you know, and he teaches at one of our Adventist universities. He said, what I tell my students is before you draw an action, you have to know what the character is thinking. The thought drives the action. You can't just animate a character running. God is the greatest animator, he said. His thoughts should animate our actions. Guard your heart. Guard your thoughts. Out of your thoughts comes your life. Let God be the animator of your actions. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, not whatsoever things are juicy, whatsoever things are titillating. It's the good, the true. Let those thoughts animate your life. I read once in a magazine, I was on a plane flying, and I don't remember if it was Time or Newsweek, but it was a magazine, something like that, and maybe U.S. News. But I read about a study that was done that showed that the first thought that we have when we wake up in the morning can set the tone for our whole day. So as soon as if you wake up in the morning and you, oh, I got to take the dog to the vet today. I got to take the car in to be worked on. I got the leak in the roof. I got to call that. And you're kind of, even before you've gotten out of bed, you've set yourself up for day type. As soon as I read that, I went to sleep, began going to sleep, asking the Holy Spirit to give me a new thought pattern and to create in me a clean slate, so that when I would wake up in the morning, I would wake up with my first thought. I chose a Bible text. In fact, I chose the Bible text you have on your bulletin. I chose Psalm 118:24. It's on the back page of your bulletin. And I asked the Holy Spirit to wake me up with this being the first thought that I came into consciousness with. This is the day which the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Guard your thoughts. Out of your thoughts, out of your heart vision of God's glory, out of your thoughts will come your abundant life, will come your life of triumph, even though you will rejoice in God your Savior. We talked about the pressing on, even when it was very, very difficult. I heard Pastor Jim Gilley tell a story one time about a man who was diagnosed with diabetes back in the early days of the 20th century. And in those days, the only way to manage it was with a very restrictive diet. And so for many years, he watched his family enjoy a delicious meal every day, at every mealtime, and he did not. Until one day he finally said, I've had enough. I'm going to eat what I want, even if it kills me. And so he did. And he died. And they buried him. And 2 weeks later, injectable insulin came on the market. The Apostle Paul says to every one of us, in whatever we're facing, he says, don't grow weary doing the right thing. For in due time you will reap your reward if you faint not. Don't grow weary. Press on. Press on. Press on. And then finally, praise. The gift of praise. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Not, I will bless the Lord when it's going well for me and I feel lighthearted or I see the answers, but I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Do you realize how hard it is to criticize each other while we're blessing the Lord? We talked this morning, Gloria shared, about how we as a family, we need love. We need the love of God burning in us for each other. When we praise the Lord, we are giving the room to the love of God to be expressed. But if we begin to criticize each other, or if we complain, it's hard to praise the Lord and complain. It's hard to praise the Lord and voice our irritations. It's hard to praise the Lord and feel better than someone else. True praise, not the Pharisees' praise of a praise the Lord, I'm not as bad as he is, you know. But the true praise that says with humble thanksgiving, O Lord, thank you for saving my soul. O Lord, I will follow you forever. Lord, use me to be a minister of reconciliation like you have reconciled me to yourself through Jesus. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be my mouth. Sister Ellen White said, how can we go mourning and complaining to our Father's house? I will bless him at all times. In 1530, during what was called the Diet of Augsburg, which was the conflict that Martin Luther was having with the established church, his heart was often troubled. As Christians, it's not a bed of roses. Our hearts will be troubled. He was anxious. He was worried. And when those times came on him, he would say, come, let us defy the devil and praise God Almighty by singing a hymn. So the next time that you find your heart anxious and worried and concerned, say with our brother Martin Luther, come, I will defy the devil and praise the Lord by singing a hymn. I will bless the Lord at all times. David, bowed down with care, talking to himself, says, why are you cast down within me, O my soul? I will hope in God and praise him more and more. Back before the early 1970s, scientists viewed the universe as a sort of like a large machine that needed a large cause in order to produce a large effect. And then a scientist by the name of Lorenz came along and he showed how a butterfly flapping its wings in Brazil could cause tiny changes in the air that began a series of events that would alter the path of a tornado in Texas. This has become known as the butterfly effect. The butterfly effect says tiny little actions can have huge unforeseen results. The next time that, you know, we're all sitting here, we're in agreement that these words come from the Word, but the next time in our daily life that we come hard against one of those trials, and the Holy Spirit brings to mind, well, guard your thoughts, praise the Lord, go into His Word, and press on. And you think, well, yes, that sounded right and good when we were sitting in the church, but boy, here singing a song, that's not gonna be any kind of an answer. I say to you what Naaman's servant said to him. If God had asked you to do a big thing, would you try it? Why not try these little things? Why not try it and see what the spiritual butterfly effect will be in your life? See how this will give to you a new vision of God's glory and how your heart will be changed. so that you can say with Habakkuk, even though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, even though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, even though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there's no herd in the stalls. That's a pretty bleak picture. Picture Habakkuk. Was he sitting in a little room looking out a window at this as he described it? Was he sitting under a tree looking out? He's just making a list. Make your own list. Even though, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high hills. Let's sing that song, I'm Pressing On the Upward Way. Dear Heavenly Father, you've heard our prayers and you've heard our praises and you've heard our longing hearts say we want to go higher with you. Please come and plant our feet firmly. When we feel like our foot is slipping, your love, Lord, will hold us up and help us to stand firmly. And then, Father, open our eyes to see where our brother or sister may be stumbling so that we can be a helping hand to them as well. And to walk together until we see you coming in glory and hear you say, well done, good and faithful servants. We love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us. Amen.